Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 104 of the Rise Up Good Witch podcast, a radical approach to herbalism, self-care, and the tarot. This is your host, Tavi Elise. Thanks for joining us. It has been a minute. Happy Leo season. Happy full moon in Aquarius. That's happening today, tomorrow. I hope this episode is finding you well. I hope you are surviving this summer chapter of climate collapse wherever you are with some degree of joy and safety. I just have a couple quick housekeeping notes before we get into today's episode. First up, Rise Up Good Witch is actively seeking sponsors for this show. How do we do anti-capitalism ethically while also needing to pay rent and eat food in a collapsing empire? It's the Aurora Boris question that is forever eating its own tail, but hey, we're going to figure it out together, eh? I really want this to continue being a podcast where we're able to both pay our guests for their time and their precious energy. And I also want to additionally be able to make a monthly mutual aid donation to a charity of that guest's choosing, which currently we are not able to do. I've been working with our digital assistant for some months on figuring out the back end of this. But in the spirit of staying true to this project's mission by not wanting to do like corporate ads for, I don't know, diamonds or alcohol or like chain restaurants, we're going to do this DIY. I'm opening up inquiries for sponsorships and partnerships with small brands, with micro businesses, and other organizations who might be a good fit for our radical show and audience. Are you a fellow herbalist or healing artist with an online shop that you're looking to increase traffic to? A yoga school with radical anti-racist principles and online courses? A wellness brand or collective with an important mission? Do you make an app for queer community or a meditation or self-care tool that could benefit our listeners? Well, I would love to chat with you and amplify your products or work on the show. Ad space starts as low as $33, depending on the size of your business. I really want to make this accessible for actual small micro business owners. So if you're interested in sponsoring an episode of Rise Up Good Witch and helping us grow, please reach out via the inquiry form on our website, manateemedicinals.com, or email me directly at manateemedicinals@gmail.com. Okay, that was actually the only housekeeping note. It's been a busy couple of months away from this space, but I am really excited to bring you a solo story from my own life today. I'm asking this question because it's relevant, not only because I just saw the Barbie movie, but do y'all ever think about death and dying? Well, I do, and I have been a lot lately. Back in May, actually the same week that I released our phenomenal episode with Chaney Williams, my little elder Chihuahua familiar Bayway passed away after many years of typical old Chiweenie health problems. And the time since has been a lot of adjusting, growth and change, summertime sadness, random bursts of deep melancholy, and just grieving, living a life without my little loyal cranky friend in it. That is part of why I've needed to take some time away from doing interviews, just to take care of my heart and my body and focus on attempting to enjoy summer with my family and friends. But today's episode is a story that is relevant to these themes, which I've been working on since January, and I'm so grateful to finally be able to share it with you now. Please enjoy Death, Decomposition, Rebirth, a Saturn Returns scary tale. Thanks for being here. In December 2016, my mother sent me a text. Not just any text. This text contained a picture attached, which at that point was kind of a personal technological feat for her. There had just been a storm in my hometown of Cincinnati, Ohio. A big storm. For context, growing up in this part of the Midwest meant that tornadoes were a thing to be regularly scared of and paranoid about, as they were enough of a threat for us to go through regular mandatory tornado drills in public school, or at least have to pause a class period whenever the loud-ass citywide tornado siren went off like clockwork the first Wednesday of every month. This one wasn't a tornado, but based on the photo, it seemed like it could have been if the wind conditions had held on a little while longer. A simple caption, "Windstorm did it," accompanied this picture, a predictably impersonal statement from a weary and trauma-worn Pisces. The picture was of my tree, ripped out of the ground. Not just any tree, but my birth tree, a blue spruce pine, the conifer my parents planted at the foot of our sloping yard in 1987 to honor my birth into the world. My blue spruce was such a core of my childhood, hanging holiday lights around it until it grew so tall my father could only hang them as high as a ladder would take him. Burying multiple family pets at its base, watching it survive several gruesome infestations of pests called bagworms, always somehow bouncing back in good health for yet another season. And now here she laid, in her resting place, torn asunder, roots splayed out to the side. After the winds died down, she was the only thing the storm had touched on our whole block. The only thing. Why her? I already struggle not to take things personally, so at the time, this felt like a real fuck you from God. Before I lived where I do now, I used to think that everything dies in the winter. Where I grew up in southern Ohio, as November turns into December, turns into snowy, dangerous, icy roads, the trees on the endlessly flat horizons all turn brown, leaves withering away. Empty flat twigs against a barren gray sky, as far as the eye can see. It's no wonder so much emo music comes out of Ohio. Anyway, as far as I knew, that's just the way it was maybe everywhere. Perhaps subconsciously, this is part of why I decided impulsively to move 2,300 miles across the country for a college called Evergreen in a place I had never even visited before. A decision which was superseded by an even more impulsive one to scrap that plan 3 weeks before my move and instead move to Portland, Oregon, where I at least had some family and knew a handful of people.
I had visited here in 2006, and visions of strolling down Division Street in a spring explosion of dancing cherry blossoms immediately permeated my dream life. Something different and bright was calling me, and although I didn't yet know what it was, I did know how to follow my syrupy, saccharine ADHD heart to whatever seemed like the next most logical adventure. In 2021, I had the great joy and opportunity to be a part of an all-BIPOC herbal medicine program in person here in Portland, formerly called Atabe, now called Moon and Mirror. That autumn, we had a wonderful class on medicinal mushrooms with a teacher, Ashi. They started us off with a question. What is decomposing for you right now? Usually it takes me a minute to formulate like a quick answer for icebreaker questions, but this time the answers popped directly into my mind. So much was decomposing for me in that moment, the second year of the pandemic. But specifically, my conceptualization of former selves and previous lives. In a life where I am frequently forced to reckon with the generational hoarding that has plagued me and my families and our ancestors, and as a survivor of multiple experiences of scooping my previous lives out of the primordial and literal ashes, ego, death, and sense of self are forces that I have had to reckon with head on many times, but especially in the past 6 years of my existence in this body. What I recognized in this moment was that I had actually been hauling those old selves around with me, like old compost in giant green biodegradable corn bags, waiting by the door for somebody else to take it out. The ideas and negative thoughts about who I thought I was, or who I really was in that moment a decade ago, or who other people projected I was, or who people told me I should be, I realize it's already been through the life cycle and the death cycle and the wash cycle and the dry cycle. It's already decomposed. I've grieved them. I've faced, you know, the demons I knew about up to that point. I've done the work, TM, but I never actually fully took the bags out to the dump. It's a crucial, important part of the process. And wow, does your shit start to stink? I'd say one of the hardest parts of living with trauma, or specifically complex PTSD, is the way in which it sticks us to not only moments in time, but to body states. Our brilliant nervous systems get stuck to a moment, functioning to keep us safe by freezing, fawning, fighting, or fleeing, or maybe some secret fifth thing. It's just our systems adapting to external factors to keep us alive. It's very smart, but it can pin us to a particular view or concept of ourselves, and it can convince us that we can only be that one person. Maybe you can only be the scared little girl reading and writing books to escape a constantly unpredictable, chaotic household. Or maybe everybody tells you, maybe your body tells you that you can only be the brash, sarcastic teenager who always got some smart-ass quip to say. Or maybe you could only be the first-generation college graduate who's going to make her family so proud. Or maybe you can only be the comedian who's going to work her way up to the top after grinding at late night open mics and shows for years. Or maybe you'll just be the rock star musician who's going to finally tour with her perfect band of friends. I have been each of those people. I am all of them. And none of them. I am a hidden network of mycelium that nurtures and is in turn nurtured by everything around her. Maybe I never even really knew what freedom felt like until I realized that it's okay to wake up every day as a brand new version of myself. That you're not supposed to be the same person forever. That you never were. Now, almost 15 years and several lifetimes later, I guess you could say across the board that I know better. I know better now. The belief that everything just dies at once fulfilled a self-motivated cynicism towards a stark sense of finality and doom. Ohio kids, you know what I'm talking about. But here, in this place that was my wonderland, the evergreen nature of the pines and the cedars, the succulents and the ferns, the cherry blossoms, immediately fostered in my body an unfamiliar sense of hope. Not just hope, but truth. Truth that, no, not everything dies in winter, but what does, perhaps was meant to. Perhaps was part of a larger cycle of life, death, and rebirth that I had barely only begun to truly understand. That in humans, as in our natural surroundings, maybe death isn't so final as we are raised in the colonized world to believe. Decomposition, especially, seems to be a realm of transformation treated in our culture as truly unholy, as not polite dinner conversation, as something we'd rather not talk about. We want a quick fix. We want to skip to the end. We want to skip to the happily ever after, to the heaven or hell. We want to get the body in the ground so we can stop thinking about it, about them, about how they made us feel. We want to bag up all the leaves in plastic and send them to the dump instead of, I don't know, learning about fucking permaculture. We want to believe in good and evil and that everything is either alive or it's dead and that there's no in between. We want to believe in something known and solid and tangible. And that is an understandable human desire. But also, what would have happened if my parents had just left that tree in the damn yard all those years ago? Waiting for me to come home before anyone dealt with it. I'm grateful that they cleaned up my past life for me. Matter of fact, they've done it more than once. Thanks, Mom and Dad. You can't just leave every past memory or every version of yourself around to rot once its time has passed. Yes, you planted the seed. Yes, you watched it grow. You enjoyed what life had brought you. And yes, it is sad when something dies or changes form. But the mulching, the composting, the decomposition, that's the dirty work. It's such a crucial, important step. And it's a part of the process we have to quit dancing around and avoiding just because it's grotesque or annoying or tiring or painful or smelly. I think my point is that beyond all the external things I've tried to heal myself, therapy, medication, drugs, sex, five other kinds of therapy, maybe nothing has ever helped me heal my relationship with myself more than living somewhere where I could really connect with the seasons and learn to live with them rather than pushing back against them, creating more unnecessary uphill strain. It doesn't all have to be uphill, and it doesn't all have to be a strain. I was very unwell for most of my 20s, dealing with a host of myths or undiagnosed chronic illnesses, looking for love in desperation with mostly terrible cis men, anxious and confused and perpetually concerned that I wasn't on the right path, that every choice I made was the wrong one, trying everything and hoping something would stick, always on edge, always cynical, often angry, seeing people as potential material instead of people, expecting pain and neglect, always waiting for the thing or the symptom or the person that would finally end me. Chronic illness just by itself is kind of a purgatorial midspace that is difficult for others to grasp or comprehend, especially when you're younger and visibly, quote-unquote, healthy to anyone who doesn't know better. During that time, it felt like I was growing in smaller, incremental ways, but at the same time, all change seemed suspect and made me paranoid, afraid. I was kind of always sitting behind my door with a baseball bat, waiting expectantly for life to throw another flaming bag of shit my way. All things told, I was so ready to move on to the next chapter of my story. So, when an unusual 60-mile-per-hour windstorm blew its way through my childhood neighborhood, touching literally nothing else on the street except my birth tree, I was shocked to feel joy instead of sadness. The collective tarot card for 2016 was the Hermit. Interestingly, the tarot card associated with Virgo, my sun sign, as well as a few other things. But for me personally, it was also a death card year. The death card is associated with Scorpio and can be generally read as a time of growth and transformations, as the closing of a chapter to begin something new, the death of egos, major status changes or transitions, shedding our old shells, facades, personas, accepting the past as the past, and experiences of major spiritual awakenings. I was 28 years old then, the time when astrologically you're said to go through your Saturn return, a time itself of rebirth, tumult, and immense change. Everything is overall supposed to flip itself upside down, shake up your life, and spit you out on the other side of what you thought was your reality. The image of my sweet blue spruce toppled completely and pulled up entirely by its roots moved me so deeply, as in that moment I was starting the first month of my path to becoming a massage therapist. I had been weaning myself off of doing stand-up comedy and creative media gig work for a while, a career shift that came to me very abruptly, almost out of nowhere. Yet I felt just as sure about my new path as I did the first time I got on stage and accidentally did a pretty solid 12-minute set at my first ever comedy open mic. Just like I did that night at the Mount Tabor Theater, that sadly doesn't exist anymore, I gave myself the gift of listening to my own intuition as it told me exactly where to go next. And that one act
has led me to a life so different and so beautiful that I can hardly even believe it sometimes. It wound up taking me almost 4 years to complete what was supposed to be a 15-month massage program. And that span of time following my Saturn return, during and following, was one of the most distinctly disorienting, challenging, new, and rewarding things I've ever done. And I was floored by how supportive the people in my life were and have been as I shift through these different versions of myself. I was lucky. I am lucky. I've had support. No one tells you what the growing pains of real growth will feel like, probably because they are specific to you and your system. And often, especially if you haven't yet experienced your Saturn return, you wouldn't believe me if I told you the kind of change that you're in for. For me, my Saturn return at the time was excruciating. It felt like I was growing physical wings that forcefully ripped their way out of my skin, clawing through the isolation, the layers of cynical protection I had spent an entire lifetime building around myself. The walls would not hold anymore, and not in some weird vampire angel anamorph way, but like parts of myself that only bloom every 28 years were stretching themselves out from my veins, down through my fingertips, my toes. Eventually, over time, I began to feel stretched out and invigorated, similar to that way you feel after a long run, having not run in a while, where endorphins and muscles are brought to life, yelling through your fascia, "Yo, why didn't you wake me up before? I was supposed to be awake already." The growth spurt that comes with death moments, or even tower card moments, is not small or incremental. It is big, brassy, loud, and fast. It can be every aspect of a life shifting plates. It is tectonic and core. It is ripping up the roots and learning how to plant something new, often by force and necessity. You won't know when it will be full grown or what it will look like over the years. You won't know how long it will last or how people will receive it. But that's not your business to worry about right now. As a wise elder comedy mother of mine once told me, don't send trouble ahead. Making art, or any kind of creative work, or doing healing work, is a practice of building trust with self and with others. It's a risk. Often it's one of the biggest and hardest risks to take emotionally, especially when you're a creative person and creative people are often empathic and sensitive and terrified of rejection. It's a risk, but I think it's worth it, even when it doesn't go the way you expect it to, and it rarely does. It can all feel terrifying. And fear doesn't just disappear into thin air. You have to compost it, along with the rage, the hurt, the resentment. This is a part of what shadow work can be. It's not an obstacle you learn to jump over by getting really swole and learning how to jump really high. It's often a tar pit full of your own bubbling hot manure that you have to get uncomfortable to wade through. Healing is not about getting rid of those things that may be obstacles for you. It's not about getting rid of them. It's about letting them, over time, become something else. Giving things the opportunity to transform. There needs to be space and time. But I regret to inform you, dear listener, we cannot do it alone.
It takes community.
Can you produce rich, even-keeled compost just by putting an apple core into a pot of dirt and hoping for the best? Not exactly. There are many factors in the transmogrification of something. There is soil, there are worms, bugs, water, acid, heat, time, and a turning over, a tilling. Sometimes the work of transformation is active, sometimes it's more passive. Sometimes it's everything at once, sometimes it's hurry up and wait. For people with trauma, especially complex PTSD, which is what I live with, connection, openness, and the ebb and flow of relationships can feel really scary. Often our ability to connect and to create can become sort of walled off, and sometimes it can feel impossible, like an insurmountable series of uphill tasks. And believe me, I know, I existed in this pit of fear for what seemed like a very, very long time. If that's the sort of place you are coming from, or if you're around your Saturn return or in it, or any other kind of major life shifts or upendings, I'd like to take a second just to mirror back to you that you are not broken and you're not doomed. Even if that's what it feels like when you are frozen in place with anxiety or depression or body pain or heartbreak, your existence is not a problem in need of fixing. I'm going to say that again. Your existence is not a problem in need of fixing. You are not a broken, flawed object. You're an imperfect human having an imperfect human experience. You are on the Samsara Express here with the rest of us, and death itself is likely not the final stop. There is always room for things to change, regenerate, reconstruct, reconstitute, and be different on the other side of now. When we talk about growth, we of course have a tendency to see things in terms of beginnings and ends. It's that middle part. It's the middle that's hard to perceive, to see in focus. But if we're here and we're breathing, isn't this all just the middle? The time I've spent studying and experiencing bodywork modalities, herbalism, the time I've spent and experienced seeing naturopaths and acupuncturists and energy workers and learning more deeply about African folk healing, indigenous and traditional Chinese medicine practices and perspectives has guided me down a path I never expected to be on. And it's wound up being a path where I feel more in control of myself in a very different way than I used to think about what the word control meant. By relinquishing control, by letting go, by learning to rest in the winter, pacing myself in the fast tizzy of summer, eating seasonal foods and more locally grown foods, making friends with herbalists and farmers, midwives and organizers, trying to get closer to my own roots as a descendant of enslaved Africans, and learning how to honor my ancestors, both the living and the dead. That's another track I'm currently on, which is also difficult and painful and rewarding. It's in sort of endless quest full of questions. How many layers of soil do I come from? From so many different corners of this earth. What cycles are worth repeating And which ones can I write anew? And what kind of soil and other things, other elements do I need to thrive in the here and now? Most importantly, now that I can be more honest and loving with myself, asking these kinds of questions, doing uncomfortable things, saying yes to things that scare me again, I'm living more in tune with myself, with such a deeper sense of peace and equilibrium within my own body and heart. I've expanded my confidence in owning my mistakes, in my ability to identify and state my needs, all things that I was not, you know, like many of us, I was not raised to know how to do. I don't know, things aren't perfect. I still live with chronic pain and all the delights that come with mental and chronic illness, but life is so much better and so much different. So much more different than I ever imagined it could be. I look back and I think about my blue spruce and how it grew so well to be over 15 feet tall, all the beautiful life and death it saw, the baby robin's nests it held, the pets we buried underneath it year after year, the Christmas lights we decorated with until it got too tall, the gross bagworms it got infected with, how its color changed, how it started to look really worn after a while, and how it decided very clearly of its own accord that it was ready to become something else now. Thanks for listening to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to directly support the creation and production of more important conversations about tarot, art, activism, herbal medicine, wellness culture, astrology, and more, please do consider joining our Patreon, where you can sign up for a monthly contribution as low as $2 a month at patreon.com/riseupgoodwitchremix. That's remix with two X's. Not in a place to contribute financially? I get it. Here are some totally free ways to support the livelihood of this important project, which are just as valuable. Leave us a review. Follow us on Instagram @_riseupgoodwitch444. Share the show or link to your favorite episode on social media. Tell a friend or family member about us. Word of mouth is crucial for a scrappy DIY show like ours, and it's how a lot of people get connected in. Thanks again to everyone for all of your support, and I will see you again next time. Bye.